I don't know about you, but I don't know if there was a better day at school. I don't know if there was ever a better day at school than the day that you got to go into the treasure box. That day was pretty cool. If the teacher was pretty cool. I mean, if the teacher was good, it was a good day. You know, if you had one of those other teachers that, you know, you kind of had the leftovers from the other previous 10 years that were still there, maybe that wasn't so special. But some of you teachers, you know how to do a treasure box. And when it's treasure box day at school, that's the day where the kids want to go digging for the best prize that they can find in the treasure box. I want to ask you a question this morning. Does God have a treasure box? You ever think about God having a treasure box? I'm going to tell you that He does. God's got a treasure box, and it's what was read to us from Ephesians chapter 1 this morning. When you have a relationship with Christ, when you are a Christian, the Bible says that you are in Christ. And when you are in Christ, when you are in His church, that's the treasure box. When you are right with the Lord, that's the treasure box. And this morning, I want us to go digging in God's treasure box. And I want us to find the treasures that He has for us, but it's only for those who are in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you don't have these treasures. You need to be in Christ in order to have these treasures, because Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says that all spiritual blessings, treasures, all spiritual blessings are in Christ. So I want you to get your Bibles out this morning. You got your Bible with you? You got your Bible, that book that opens up? It's a beautiful book, isn't it? Go to the book of Ephesians in chapter 1. And we're just going to park in Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to walk through some of these verses in Ephesians chapter 1 and allow God to show us some of the treasures that He has in store for us who are in Christ. The first treasure, and I want you to think about each of these treasures and see how valuable it is. The first treasure that He introduces to us in verse 4 is the treasure of being chosen. Do you remember the days? Some of you know them quite well. Do you remember the days when you went out for recess? We called it P.E. when I was in school. We didn't call it recess. We called it P.E. When you went out for P.E., when you went out for recess, do you remember when there were two captains and the captain started calling people and choosing teams? Remember how much you wanted to be chosen? You didn't want to be the last one chosen. Remember how much you wanted to be chosen? And how much you wanted to be chosen on the right team to be on the winning team? Guess what? When you are in Christ, you have been chosen. You have been chosen because you are on the winning team. You've been chosen to be on the winning team, but you've been chosen because you are on the winning team. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 says, God chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Why did He do that? So that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Who did God choose? The Bible says He chose us. Who's the us? The us are those who are in Christ. The us is those who are in His church. Keep reading the rest of this chapter, and that's what he describes for us, is that the us are those who are in His church, who are in Christ. And God looked down before He ever created the world, and He says, those people who are in My church, those people who have done what's necessary in order to be in Christ, they are My chosen ones. We get to get into the treasure box of God, and we get to be called His chosen ones. There's nothing better than that. It's better than being chosen to play on the soccer team at recess. It's better than being chosen for some job and you get the call and say, you've got the job. It's better than that. You get to be chosen by God. And what the reality is that God chooses you when you choose Him. When you make the choice to give your life to Christ, when you make the choice to do what's necessary in Scriptures in order to become one of His children, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 describes the church in this way. It says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. And when you've done what's necessary, Acts 10 and verse 35, those who fear God and keep His commandments. Think about what Peter says in Acts 10 and verse 35. Those who fear God and keep His commandments are accepted by Him. Have you been accepted by God? Have you been chosen by God? Are you one of His treasures inside of His treasure box? Jesus said in Matthew 22, many are called, but few are chosen. Why? Why are few chosen? Because only a few choose to walk that narrow path. Same word few is in Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. There's only few who walk that narrow path that leads to heaven. Are you in Christ? Have you been chosen by God as one of His treasures? Look at the next verse in verse 5. As you look in God's treasure box, it's not just that God has chosen them, He has adopted them. How many orphans are there? How many orphans are there that would long to look inside of a treasure box and to pull out some parents who would adopt them? How many children are there without a mom and a dad who love them? God takes that concept. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5, He says, having predestined us, having chosen us, those who are in Christ long before the world began, He looked down through time and said, those are the ones I'm going to adopt to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself. How did He do this? Look at the end of verse 5. Did He do it because He had to? Did God adopt you because He had to do it? No, He did it according to His good pleasure. When God adopted you, He had a smile on His face. When you made up your mind, I want to be adopted by God, you started that process. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 12 that those who believe on Christ, they have the right to become a child of God. When you believe, it's as if you have filled out your adoption papers. You've started them. You've started the papers, say, I want to be adopted by God, but you're not there yet. John 1 and verse 5 says those who believe, they've got the right to become a child of God. It's two chapters later in John chapter 3 where Jesus tells us, if you want to be a child of God, you've got to be born again. You've got to be born of the water and the Spirit. You've got to be baptized into Christ. And when you are baptized into Christ, you are raised into a new family. You're in the family of God. You're a child of God. You've been adopted by God. There's no better father for you to have. I know some of you grew up maybe without a father, without a father figure. Maybe you grew up with a father, but he was not much of a father. The Bible talks about in Matthew chapter 7 how earthly fathers are supposed to take care of their earthly children, but Jesus says, don't you know that your heavenly Father can do so much better? Your heavenly Father loves you and longs to take care of you as a part of His adopted family. I want you to see the treasure that there is in being chosen by God. I want you to see the treasure that there is in being adopted into the family of God. Are you a part of His treasure? Are you one of His treasures? Look in verse 7. Not just about being chosen or being adopted. It's about being redeemed. How many slaves have there been throughout time? How many slaves have there been throughout time who'd have loved to have had a treasure box? And to go into that treasure box and to find somebody in that treasure box who would have purchased them out of slavery and set them free. You know the worst thing to be enslaved to? Sin. Worst thing to be enslaved to is sin. You know the worst person to be enslaved to? The devil. And Jesus came, and look in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, where again it says, in Him. That's the key throughout this chapter. That's the treasure box. In Him we have redemption. How? Through His blood. Jesus came and he paid the price for my sins. But Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, he didn't pay the redemption price with silver or gold. I mean, he could have, right? It all belongs to him. He could have paid with silver or gold, but that wasn't valuable enough. He needed something more valuable than silver or gold. And so the Bible says, Peter says, it was his precious blood. Not just blood, his precious blood. When you look at the cross and see Jesus hanging on that cross, can you see his precious blood being shed for you? It was being shed so that you might be bought out of slavery. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, that's what Paul says. You've been bought at a price. That price was the precious blood of Jesus. And when I take the steps that are necessary for me to be chosen and adopted by God, when I take the steps that God has outlined for me in Scripture, and I adhere myself to His plan, He redeems me. The blood of Jesus buys me out of the worst slavery of all, of sin. The blood of Jesus buys me out of the worst slavery of all, being enslaved to the devil. And I become free. Free from sin. Free from the devil. Free from that condemnation of hell. Are you one of His treasures? I want you to look in God's treasure box this morning. I want you to see what we have when we are in Christ. We get to be the chosen of God. We get to be the adopted of God. We get to be the redeemed of God. That's His treasure, but that's not all verse 7 says. There is treasure in being His forgiven. How many prisoners do you suppose there are who would love to have a treasure box? How many prisoners do you suppose there are who would love to have a treasure box, to search inside of a treasure box and to find their not guilty verdict? That would love to look inside their treasure box and to find that forgiveness of guilt and freedom from prison to walk out? Wouldn't you know that every prisoner wants to have that treasure box? You and I have it. We have that treasure box. Having been, as it were, imprisoned in sin, God has freed us. He has forgiven us of our sins according to His grace. God's goodness, not our goodness. God's goodness, as it were, opened the bars of sin, freed us, forgave us of our sins. Do we understand how beautiful a concept forgiveness is? Do you understand when we look in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, where the Bible says, God demonstrates His own love toward who? Us. God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet, what were we? Were we deserving? We were glorious. We were great. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When you view and when you picture that precious blood of Jesus flowing down from the cross, remember, He didn't have any sins. He wasn't shedding His precious blood to forgive His own sins. He didn't have any. He was shedding His precious blood for my sins so that I could be forgiven of my sins. So that when I believe and when I'm baptized, Mark 16 and verse 16, I can be saved at that moment from my sins. Have you ever done that? Have you ever, with faith in your heart, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved? Have you ever been baptized so that you could be saved and been forgiven of your sins at that very moment? When you're raised out of the waters of baptism, with that understanding, the Bible says that the blood of Jesus washes away your sins. Isaiah would say that though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Any of you have cleaning products that can do that? That can take something that is as red as blood, though your sins be as scarlet, and can make it as white as snow? Or how often do you wash something and you take it out of the washing machine in the dryer, and you're like, no, I think I can still see it. Yep, I can still see it. It was close. It almost got there, but you know, I can still see it. When God washes away your sins, you can't still see it. He can't still see it. That's the treasure of being in Christ. Do you have that treasure? Do you have the treasure of being chosen? Treasure of being adopted? Treasure of being redeemed? The treasure of being forgiven? Keep looking at verse 8, where it's not just those four treasures. We learn about the treasure of being enlightened. And I want you to be careful with this. Don't think that this means that that all of a sudden you're going to have some beam of light shining around you. Look at what he says in verse 8. Which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us, think about what he's saying, having been made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, there it is again, which he purposed in himself. I want you to think about what was happening in this day. In this day, the Christians did not have the completed New Testament. It was being shared with them. Progressively, it was being shared with them. So much so that back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, Paul calls the gospel, he refers to it as the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. As people were learning the gospel, it was like a light going on in their head. As they were learning the gospel, the good news about Jesus, it was a light coming on. Wait a minute. Those prophecies in Isaiah 53 about that lamb who was going to come, that's Jesus, and lights were going off as they began to make connections between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and they were being enlightened. Guess what you are? You've got the Bible. You've got more than those first century Christians had. You've got the fullness of the light of the glory of God. And God says about that in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, that is this earth, that this treasure, underscore that word treasure, in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, it is this treasure that we have been given as earthen vessels. Do you know the treasure that you have here? Those first century Christians did not have this in its fullness. Paul said, we prophesy in part, we know in part. They only had the parts, but now we have the complete full revelation of God. We have the treasure of all treasures that we get to investigate, that we get to study on a daily basis. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6, when someone becomes a Christian, it likens it to being enlightened because they have understood the light of the glory of Christ, and they've understood that's what I need to do. Have you ever been enlightened to the point where you realize that's what I need to do? You see, God gave us the treasure of the Bible, and then He gave us the treasure of a brain. The treasure of a brain that can understand and apply what He has written. It's not so hard that you can't understand it. He's given us both treasures to put together so that we can take it and put it into practice in our lives. When the Bible says that Jesus died for your sins, that He went to that cross not because of anything He had ever done, but because of everything we had ever done wrong, died on that cross, shed His blood for us. He was buried in that tomb, and the third day He was raised again. Has that ever changed your life? So sacrifice of Jesus and what He's done for us, has that ever enlightened you to say, wait a minute, why am I out here living in darkness? Why am I over here, you know, searching for some path to go down? You know, in Acts chapter 27, it talks about those sailors who were out on the sea and they were lost at sea. They were lost at sea, and it says they were praying for daylight to come. They wanted to be enlightened. Why do we want to live in darkness? We've got the light of the gospel ready to show us, here's how we get right with God. Do we know the treasure that we have in Christ? God's got a treasure box for us. It's full of these treasures. Not just this treasure of what we have being enlightened from the gospel. We've got the treasure of being reconciled to God. How many family members, how many friends who have been in fights would love to have a treasure box? They could just go in this treasure box and they could find some way to reconcile the relationship and to fix this relationship that's been broken. We've got that treasure. It's a treasure that's been given to us by God. Is it not a marvel that God is the one who was wronged in this relationship, us and God? God is the one who was wronged, but it was God who initiated reconciliation. It was God who decided to try to do whatever he could to make it right. That same passage over in Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In verse 10, it says, if when we were enemies, we were sinners, we were enemies. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, how? Through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Have you ever been reconciled to God? You know, it's our sin that separates us from God. Have you ever taken the steps that are necessary to get back right with God? You can't be right with God when there's sin in the way. That sin separates you from God, and even after you become a Christian, if you go back to living in sin, that sin will separate you from God again. We've got to get rid of that sin. And that's what God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, be reconciled to God. Come back and do what God wants you to do. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, Paul says, the love of Christ compels us. When you sit and contemplate how much Jesus loves you, can you sit still? Can you sit idly by when you think about how much Jesus truly loves you? Or does his love compel you to say, I want to be right with God? James chapter 2 says that Abraham had a great privilege of being called the friend of God. Would you like to be called God's friend? Jesus said in John chapter 15, you are my friends if you do whatever I say. There's no better friend that you'll ever have on this earth than Jesus Christ. The song that says the greatest friend you'll ever find is Jesus Christ. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. But he can only be your friend if you're in Christ. He's only your friend if you're in his church. Because that's where you have that treasure of reconciliation. You go down to verse 11. And in verse 11, it tells us about the treasure of being heaven bound. Your Bible might have the word inheritance, that in him we have an inheritance. Your Bible, instead of the word inheritance, might have the word heritage. That's what God has made us. He has made us to be his heritage. He has made us to be heaven bound. You ever seen those college students on their way to college for the first time, and on the back of their car it says FHU or bust, or FSU or bust, or Auburn or bust? Or I doubt anybody would ever put Bama or bust, but I mean, college students, they're saying, all right, we're going to school and we're not going to have anything get in our way. They're college bound. Ever seen somebody traveling? They've written on their car where they're going. You know, north to Alaska, Alaska or bust. They're bound for that place. For Christians, it's heaven or bust. I don't want to go anywhere else. You want to go anywhere else? There's only one other option. I know what that option is. Don't have any desire to go there. I want to go to heaven. But that heaven-bound treasure is only for those who are in Christ, because we become his heritage. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, not only are we a chosen generation, we're a royal priesthood, we're a holy nation. And then it says, we are his own special people. Are you one of God's special people? Some translations there say, we are His own special possession. Are you among that group? You only are if you are in Christ. You only are if you are in His church. And it's that group that He's promised. Then He said, when He says, I will come again, John 14, and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Are you heaven bound? Are you bound for the place where Jesus is? When Jesus comes back and He takes unto Himself His own, will you be among those number? Statement on the screen indicates that when this world is wiped out, the only thing that God's going to have left are His faithful children. Are you one of them? Will you get to spend an eternity with Him? Is there any better treasure in God's box than being heaven bound? Last treasure that we have there, verses 13 and 14. You did verses 13 and 14. He says, all right, let me tell you about one more treasure. It's a treasure that's only for those who are in Christ, and that's the treasure of being sealed. Some people have misunderstood what this is talking about. What does it mean to be sealed? It appears today that there's all sorts of people that they're searching in a treasure box. And it's as if they've come to a treasure box and they're hunting and they're digging around. And you know what some people are looking for inside of a treasure box, it seems these days? So it seems what some people are looking for in a treasure box these days is their identity. They're looking inside this treasure box, trying to find their identity because they seem confused about their identity. And they're trying to decide what their identity is, or they're listening to others telling them what their identity is. That's what this word sealed is all about. This word sealed is a word that is used as a branding mark. As a mark that was used upon individuals to say, this is my possession. You all know that I grew up with three sisters. Jane Claire's got three brothers. That's pretty tough, I think. But what's tougher than having three brothers is having three sisters. There's a special place in heaven for people who had three sisters. I'm convinced of it. But when you grow up with three sisters, you got to put your mark on. You got to put a label on stuff. This is mine. Keep your little girl hands off of it. So I had a stack of those stickers. Some of you may have had them. Stack of those stickers that says, this belongs to, and a big old blank under there. And I had a Sharpie marker that I used. This belongs to David. And I'd slap it on everything that I could. Keep your girl hands off of this. This belongs to David. It had my mark on it. It had my seal. My seal of identification. My seal of authentication. My seal of security. When I'm in Christ, God has put a sticker on me that says, this belongs to God. You want to tell me a better treasure than that? And that mark is the fact that inside every Christian dwells God. God dwells within all of us. And He says when we become a child of God, that God takes up residence within us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they all dwell within the heart of a faithful Christian. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that's what it said, verse 19, you've been bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, not yours. They belong to God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, He says in that passage. And so as such, God says, you have been given this guarantee. Do you have the word guarantee in verse 14? Maybe you've got the word deposit. The word there indicates that God has given us His Spirit as an assurance that we have an eternal inheritance with Him forever. I'm a child of God on this earth. Not because of my goodness, but because of the goodness of Christ. Because of the goodness of God. And I bear within my heart, the Spirit of God. And Paul says in Romans chapter 8, that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It's an interesting statement Paul makes in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Very last letter Paul is ever going to write. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. He says, here's the assurance that we have. He says, here's the foundation, here's the established foundation that we absolutely can camp out on. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. It's this seal, and then he has in quotation marks, it's this seal, quotations, God knows those who are His. Does God know you? Are you one of His treasures? In Exodus 19 and verse 5, Deuteronomy 7 and verse 6, God looked at the children of Israel and He called them His special treasure. Use that word. Malachi uses the word jewel, that you are my jewel. And 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about us being His special people. Are you? Are you His treasure? Are you able to look inside of God's treasure box and to be able to say, I am one of His chosen. I am one of His adopted. I am one of His redeemed. I am one of His forgiven. I am one of His enlightened because I've got the Scriptures that have been given to me to show me how to get right with God. I am one of His reconciled. I've been made right with God. Not because of my goodness, because of His. I'm heaven bound. And I've been given God's seal of approval that I belong to Him. I don't know, when you were in school and you got to go in the treasure box, that was pretty cool. And if you had a really good teacher, boy, that was the day. And you wanted to be the first to get into that treasure box. You don't want somebody else getting their hands on your treasure. You want to be the first to get in there and to find what's in there this week. Oh, boy. God's got a treasure for us. It's better than school. It's in Christ. And there are treasures beyond our wildest dreams inside of Christ. Are those treasures yours? Are you in Christ? Have you done what's necessary in order to become a child of God? You know, we talked about it earlier. We've stated it several times throughout this lesson. What is it? What is it? What is that treasure? How do I get saved? I've got to believe that Jesus is God's Son. I've got to repent of my sins, make up my mind to stop doing what's wrong, get out of darkness, start doing what's right. I want to be in the light. Just change the direction of your life. And if you're ready to make that decision today, you can do what they did in the New Testament. Confess your faith in Jesus and to be baptized. Galatians 3 and verse 27 says, baptized into Christ. You cannot be in Christ and have access to all of those treasures if you have not been baptized into Him. Is there a reason you shouldn't do that today? Be forgiven of your sins, added by the Lord to His body, to His kingdom, to His church, to be raised to walk a new, faithful life of service to Him. What's the reason? What's the reason in your mind that you don't need to do that today? The Lord's going to come at any moment. Are you prepared to meet Him? If you're not ready for that day, why don't you come right now as together we stand and sing.